Hi, and welcome to the second episode of the Modcast, a service of Yellow Stripes and Dead Armadillos. I'm your host, Dave Chislevich. And today, I thought we'd talk a little bit about history and what it means and how it changes. And I was inspired to think about that because my good friend Dick Wagner passed away this week. At the age of 78. And Dick was a mentor to me. He was chair of the Dane County Board when I was a young supervisor. And he mentored a lot of people, including Mark Pocan and Earl Bricker and Carol Brooks and a woman by the name of Tammy Baldwin, who you may have heard of. He's a great guy. And he was a historian, had a PhD in history from the UW, and wrote a two-part book, two-volume book on gay history in Wisconsin. And so Dick's passing got me to thinking about history, and I've been writing about this in some of my blog posts. It seems to me that one way you can look at history is a big pile of bricks, and you can arrange those bricks in all kinds of different ways. You can build an arts and crafts structure, or you can build a ranch house, or you can build a modern structure. There's any number of ways you can put those bricks together, and they're all equally valid. But what you can't do is, you know, invent your own bricks. You can't have a structure that doesn't hold up, that isn't structurally sound. And I think that's a pretty good analogy for how to think about history. You can arrange historical facts in ways that tell different narratives, different stories that are equally valid. But what you can't do is invent your own facts or ignore relevant ones to create a structure that doesn't have a firm foundation. And I think about that in terms of a debate we're having right now in this country about our own history, particularly with regard to race and to slavery. And there are those who are arguing that we've really created a historical narrative of our country that glosses over too many things in our history that we need to confront. And I think they're right about that. I remember, of course, as a kid being taught about Abraham Lincoln and how he freed the slaves, but I never learned anything about what it was like to be a slave. Just one example of you know, the lack of completeness in how we teach kids about our history. So I think that's a valid point. But there is this ongoing debate about critical race theory. And there are some on the left, liberals, a lot of Democrats, who are saying, really, this isn't an issue. It's just something that's taught in obscure courses in graduate schools. I don't think that's correct. I do think that while, you know, grade schoolers aren't being asked to read Ibram X. Kendi or Robin DiAngelo, they are getting some of those concepts. And I do think that, like a certain kind of house built out of bricks, it's not wrong, it's not invalid, but it's just one way of putting those bricks together. Joe Biden held a conference last week about democracy, about the threats to democracy, which are real. And he took some criticism for it because of some of the folks who were invited. Some countries have democracies that are that in name only. And of course, some countries he didn't invite. So China, for example, took exception to not being invited to Biden's democracy conference. They claim to be one, which is curious in a country that only allows one party, that does not tolerate dissent. But their argument was that the Communist Party is popular, they say, and that they do reach out to citizens in various ways to get their input on the direction of the country, particularly at the local level. It sounds to me like kind of a group of focus groups to help direct the country, which makes sense. Any corporation would do that to try to make sure that it's aligned with its customers. So I don't know if you call it democracy, but I suppose it is an element of democracy. In any event, I don't think any serious person would look at China and how it's run and consider that to be a democracy in any meaningful sense, especially compared to the United States. But one thing I think we can take from that that is positive is that the Chinese government found some need, some desire to at least make the case that they were a democracy. They didn't come out and say, look, democracy doesn't work. Yeah, we're an autocracy and we're proud of it. Look how great it is. They didn't try to say that. They instead tried to thread the needle by taking their authoritarian government and trying to dress it up in democratic principles. I think we could take a little bit of solace from that, that the Chinese government felt that it at least needed to pretend that it had the trappings of a democracy. So how does all that relate to history and how we teach our young kids about our country and about American history? Well, my problem with critical race theory is that part of the argument is that the very institutions of American democracy are faulty, that the whole country is built on a rotten foundation, and that things like free speech, when employed by what some would call hate speech, or speech that simply disagrees with some of the tenets of CRT, that speech should be devalued or even banned. The presumption of innocence with regard to, say, police officers who are accused of shooting African American suspects or folks on college campuses who might be accused of sexual assault there. Those presumptions of innocence are defined among some of those who are supporters of critical race theory, are defined as things that are impediments to social justice, tools of the oppressors, as they would call it. I think that's a very, very dangerous set of concepts. And to the extent that that gets suggested or implied in the curriculum, in the narrative of our country that young kids are exposed to, I think that's very dangerous. I think you got to start out by laying down a foundation of love for country and love, more importantly, for those values of liberal democracy. Got to start with that. Now, later on, in the later grades in high school and college, certainly, you ought to bring in some heavier critiques of that. And I'm certainly not suggesting that even at a young age, kids be taught things that are simply untrue. Getting back to that pile of bricks, you can't invent bricks. You have to select them. And in fact, of course, I don't think that we should ignore the ugly bricks either. Those should be incorporated in the narrative. But the question of how you talk about the country, whether it's a great country with serious flaws or a fundamentally flawed country that cannot be fixed, that is a choice. That is not truth in one way or another. That's a choice of how you arrange the facts of American history and the narrative you want to tell about it. And when you make the choice to say, America is a fundamentally bad country based on slavery, for example, rather than freedom. You made a choice. Maybe it's a choice that can be defended, but it's not necessarily the truth. It's simply one way of looking at those facts, and I think a very dangerous way, because it undermines this very idea of democracy. It makes things a little bit too relative, I think, to say, well, look at how bad America is. China can't be that bad, no matter what they're doing to minorities in China. When everything becomes relative, then it's very difficult to stand up to injustice anywhere. It just seems to me that, ironically, critical race theory has the effect of undercutting the whole American narrative, which really fundamentally is about justice. In the end, it's about living up to everything we promise to be for everyone. Well, that wraps up the second episode of the Modcast. I'm Dave Cheslevich, your host. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.